The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard on corners in town, like a cancer that's silently spreading. There's an unspoken fear we're on our way down. We must take America back, Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C., before it's too late. There's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stattmiller, with you on this 23rd day of February 2018. And if somebody does not remove the heavy overcast that we've been under here, what, Mike, for almost 2 weeks, I think people are going to start going postal here in Texas. I have just watched a piece that was done on the Daily Caller. And you said, Mike, that Tucker Carlson is the Daily Caller. He started that? Mike? You think so? Can you fact check that real quick? I'm sorry? Neil Patel? That sounds like a made-up name. Sounds like Neo. Red pill or blue pill? The Daily Caller recently did an interview with Joe DiGenova. Who this guy is, and you've seen him on TV before. He's a former federal prosecutor. And what the man just did, all the stuff that you and I have been trying to hopscotch and dance and trying to catch this and trying to make sense of that, as far as a timeline and who was zooming whom in Washington, D.C. with Donald Trump, and who was the Democratic National Committee, and what was that, Debbie Wasserman, and what was her role, and all, on and on and on. This cacophony of absolute, and I will honor the wish of the gentleman that I talked to the other day that listens to this program with his grandchildren. I'm kind of try to curtail my colorful descriptions. Let me put it to you that way. But asshat is not one of them. Fair warning, because that's just too good. Sorry. That is one description that covers a multitude. But we have been overloaded with information. And of course, the ones with the agenda, the political agenda, if you will. When you say political agenda, people, that just kind of goes into a, it's like dropping a pebble in a large lake. You know, it ripples out and then the ripples disappear and, you know, it just gets lost when you say political. Well, some people would argue that everything is political. Well, that may be. But to dismiss it, just like people were taught to dismiss when somebody says, oh, he's a conspiracy theorist. Oh, okay, I'm not going to listen to anything that guy has to say because he's a nut. Well, conspiracy theorist here. Go back through our ravings and our mindless ramblings. Check the veracity of it. Do the fact check on that. We have been right, and you have been wrong. But when we're not right, we don't do it intentionally, and we clean up our mistakes. We admit mistakes. This Joe DiGenova is worth listening to because it ties all of what is going on with Hillary Clinton, with James Comey and the FBI, with all of their little operatives, Folks, there should have been grand juries impaneled, indictments handed out. We should be in the phase right now of bringing the treasonous, traitorous ones into courts and then deciding what to do with them from there on. You know, going to the sentencing phase. They love this new thing that, oh, it's a phase. Okay. We're in this phase, and then we'll move to the next phase, and then we'll move to the final phase. You know, it's like describing, they want us to believe that this is some surgical procedure that they do so carefully and no mistakes are made, otherwise there's dire consequences. Well, justice is blind. It's not always, they don't always get the bad guy. But what the justice system was in this country set up is absolutely that the defendant or the accused has the latitude and a lot of freedom to disprove allegations or a criminal act against the person. But when you rig that system and you have your protectorates out there, now you and I don't think that, oh, well, they'll just skip me because they're so corrupt and I'm not that bad. No, that does not work. When you have a system that is this corrupt, that people fail to remember what their jobs are about or what their oaths are, or did you ever ask yourself a question why we don't have more criminals in this world? You know, gosh, it's a white-collar crime. I don't hurt anybody. The reason most people don't do it is because there is penalty and most people recognize it. It's like the old saying, locks are on doors to keep people honest. Have you ever seen a door that somebody can't come through? Folks, we got to invent ways. I don't care how big of a door you build or how thick it is or how secure you may think it is. There is somebody with some device that can come through that door if they want to. This is boiled down by Joe DiGenova. So you understand in a cognitive, understandable, logical timeline of the seriousness of what is going on in Washington, D.C. I mean, he flat out comes out and says, look, Barack Obama was spying on the incoming president, or the president that wants to be. Now, this is a sitting president using courts, using the FBI, using the Attorney General's office. He was a political assassin. You know, everybody's running around in this country, oh, the left, we got to pull down these racist, these symbols of Confederacy. And my hope, we get this republic back, that the name of Barack Hussein Obama is erased from any record whatsoever. If there's a timeline of presidents and when they sat as presidents, when they lived, when they died, I just want a gap there for Barack Obama. And the guy used his color as a shield, folks. Wow. This is the Daily Caller interview, and I think you will find this most informative. And as I said, you still have questions, you're still looking, running around, looking for people that can make sense of what has been going on in Washington for the last year. Folks, I got to be honest with you. I've been paying attention, and I'm sitting there with my head in my hands just like you are. Well, this goes a long way in clearing up a lot of confusion and saying in no uncertain terms who the guilty parties are and the reasons why.
Connect the dots for us and tell the significance of the fact patterns that are starting to get unraveled. Why is this a big deal?
It's a big deal because I have a saying. The FBI used to spy on the Russians. This time they spied on us. What this story is about, it's about a brazen plot to, again, exonerate Hillary Clinton from a clear violation of the law with regard to the way she handled classified information with her private server. Absolutely a crime, absolutely a felony. It's about finding out why, as the Inspector General is doing at the Department of Justice, why Comey and the senior DOJ officials conducted a fake criminal investigation of Hillary Clinton, followed none of the regular rules, gave her every break in the book, immunized all kinds of people, allowed the destruction of evidence, no grand jury, no subpoenas, no search warrant. That's not an investigation. That's a Potemkin village. It's a farce, and everybody knew it was a farce. The problem was she didn't win. And because she didn't win, the farce became a very serious opera. It wasn't a comic opera anymore. It was a tragic opera, and she was going to be the focus. What this is about a lavabo, a cleansing of the FBI and the upper echelons of the Department of Justice. We're going to discover that the Attorney General, Loretta Lynch, her deputy, Sally Yates, the head of the National Security Division, John Carlin, Bruce Ohr, and other senior DOJ officials and, regrettably, line attorneys, people who were senior career civil servants, violated the law, perhaps committed crimes, and covered up crimes by a presidential candidate. But more than that, they tried to frame an incoming president with a false Russian conspiracy that never existed, and they knew it, and they plotted to ruin him as a candidate and then destroy him as a president. That's why this is important. That's why connecting the dots is important, because the FBI now has to be completely reconstructed from the ground up. The men and women at the Bureau are great people. That's not who we're talking about. We never have been. We are talking about people like James Comey, McCabe, Strzok, Page, Baker, Prystep, who is a name nobody knows. He's the head of the Counterintelligence Division, and he was the one who was involved in planning this entire crazy thing involving Fusion GPS, the false dossier, and creating evidence. This is what people have to understand. What the Bureau did was, by working with Fusion GPS and giving contractors access to highly classified information which they had no legal right to see, they needed to create something they could give to the court, the Foreign Intelligence Court, so that they could get wiretaps and surveillance taps and email taps and phone taps on the Trump people, so that if there was anything, they could find it out. Of course, there was nothing. There never was anything. And they created false facts so that they could get surveillance warrants. Those are all crimes. Every single one of those acts constitutes a crime, because it was done not for a legitimate law enforcement reason, not for national security reasons, but to create a false case against a candidate, Donald Trump, a president-elect, Donald Trump, and a president, Donald Trump. The FISA court opinion of April 27th of 2017 outlines a series of illegal disclosures to contractors. It is believed that among those contractors were Fusion GPS and CrowdStrike. CrowdStrike is the company that was used to bleach Hillary's computer. CrowdStrike, if what is being reported is true, and I've seen two reports about CrowdStrike being among the private contractors that were given access to raw 702 incidental collection of American citizens under FISA warrants. If that is true, they have committed crimes. The Bureau who gave them information committed crimes. There is huge civil liability for CrowdStrike and for the FBI officials. And there is, right now, there's at least two lawsuits pending against Mr. Steele, the former MI6 agent who wrote the Steele dossier at the payment of Fusion GPS. Fusion GPS has been sued. I expect if these facts come out from the FISA court showing that these contractors got this information, they will all be sued. Now, they may declare bankruptcy and not be able to pay, But the people don't realize that this is already on the public record, that these things happen. The question which has been blanked out from this opinion, as you can see, this is all dark, all through the opinion. What they've done is they've blanked out the names of the contractors and the names of the FBI and DOJ officials who broke the law. That is going to come out. That's what Nunes has. He has all that information now. He knows what's in these blanks that the court blanked out. The court did the right thing. It's not supposed to reveal that. But once you start doing oversight, constitutional oversight, those blanks go away to Congress. And we will know shortly who the private contractors were that were allowed to break the law by the FBI. When Comey goes to visit President Trump at the White House about the Flynn case and all that, remember, the president is president at that point. There's no reason for Comey to be doing anything. If the president wanted to meet with him, he didn't have to go. He went and he told the president, for example, about the dossier. Now, why would an FBI director tell a president about this salacious document, which Comey admitted under oath there was no proof for, no validity? He was playing J. Edgar Hoover. He was blackmailing the president of the United States. He was saying, I know all about this. Now, I'm not going to say anything about it, of course. Of course, if it ever gets out, it's just going to be awful. Do you want me to stay in my job? I mean, this Comey is a person so devoid of a moral compass. He describes himself as Thomas Becket. I said to somebody the other day, he's not Thomas Becket. He's the assassin, Henry II, who killed Thomas Becket. That's who Comey is. He's an assassin. He's a political assassin.
So when you follow the money of Fusion GPS, if the DNC and the Hillary Clinton campaign paid Fusion GPS, and that was part of the dossier that went to the FISA court, and it also was marketed through the journalistic community, mm-hmm. Some people think that Fusion GPS was paying a lot of left-wing journalists who became propagandists to add these things to their stories. Have you heard that?
Yeah. Well, I think the understandable storyline that Fusion GPS paid journalists to then go out and tell a story is the complete antithesis of American journalism and the First Amendment. We don't do that in this country. But if they did, and it's pretty clear that they paid a lot of money to a lot of people, among whom were some journalists. There's just no doubt about that. That's a scandal of immense proportion for the American journalism community, who seem to care little about that. The only thing the American journalism community seems to care about is destroying Donald Trump. It's fascinating to me that the people who cared so deeply about governmental institutions in Watergate could care less about them now, because it's another Republican who's being destroyed. This is as bad as it gets. When you have the government, the FBI and the DOJ being absolutely corrupted because of their motivations, and when you have the journalistic community being bought, it seems to me that's pretty bad for all the institutions involved. And journalism is now below Congress in terms of approval ratings. This is not going to help them. There have been rumors about the reason GPS fought the House Intelligence Committee subpoena was to prevent, not who their clients were, that's nonsense. They were protecting the people that they paid. And it's pretty obvious that Fusion GPS, they can pay anybody they want for information. They're not a government agency. They're not buying. If they want to pay for information and they think it's truthful or not truthful, but they want it, they can do that. It's clear that the reason they tried to protect, and they went to court to try and stop the House subpoena, but they lost in front of Judge Richard Leon, was to protect to whom they were paying money to get information. I have read reports, I don't know whether they're true or not, that they paid a number of journalists to spread information about the dossier. It's not going to be long, though, because the House now has all of those records. They've been reviewed. And Devin Nunes, the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee, has now and will start next week briefing individual members of the House in closed sessions about what they've discovered. And I'm sure that what will leak out is who Fusion GPS paid. Fusion GPS, by the way, is really a joke. They wrote an op-ed piece in the New York Times about a week ago criticizing the House committee and saying, release all the transcripts and everything. Of course, everything that was released was blanked out because it had information that they wanted protected. I think that what's quite clear is that they were a private intelligence service. They sold their services to the highest bidder. That was the Clinton campaign and the Democratic National Committee, and eventually the FBI, which used them and bootstrapped their information into FISA applications. And it is not too far astray to say that they became an arm of the conspiracy willingly and knowingly, and that they engaged in activity which was clearly designed to destroy a human being. And it's pretty clear, according to James Comey, it may be one of the few truthful things he said in all of his sworn testimony, that there's nothing verified in that report except that somebody like George Papadopoulos, Carter Page took a trip, a perfectly legal trip to Russia. Didn't do a thing wrong, didn't do anything wrong when he came back, and didn't do anything wrong before he went. Hope he wins his lawsuit.
So talk about the competing narratives in the scandal world right now, and what's the important timelines that are that you're watching?
Well, what's fascinating to me is how the people who want to defend everything that the Bureau has done or the Department of Justice or the Clintons have turned to a series of narratives to replace the truth. For example, once this whole thing broke, when President Trump said, "I was spied on by the President of the United States," he was laughed at. In fact, he was spied on by the President of the United States, by Barack Obama, under Barack Obama's orders and under the orders of John Brennan and Clapper, the Director of National Intelligence, and Susan Rice, the National Security Advisor, and Ben Rhodes, the Deputy National Security Advisor. Because what they did, which was part of a scheme which began in the year 2016, was to try to figure out a way to help Hillary Clinton get elected by exonerating her in her email scandal in her private server in New York, and then she would be elected, and then the problem of Donald Trump would go away. The problem was she lost. And when she lost, they had time between the election in November of 2016 and the time between the president was inaugurated to try and do damage, to cover up what they had done with Fusion GPS and a bunch of other people before the election, and to make it perfect after the election, to secure the storyline. And so, interestingly enough, people, there are some real heroes in this story. And part of it is how you defeat these competing narratives. You'll recall that first there's the story about the dossier, the so-called Fusion GPS dossier, which we now know was developed with the assistance of the FBI, Christopher Steele, the former spy from England, Bruce Orr, a senior Justice Department official in the Obama administration, Bruce Orr's wife, who was an employee of Fusion GPS and a Russian expert. That all of a sudden became something that people got worried about on the Democratic side and on the protect the Clinton side. Then all of a sudden, when the dossier got even stronger and stronger as a result of the knowledge about Bruce Orr's involvement, the dialogue shifted. And then it became that the dossier really wasn't important because George Papadopoulos, this know-nothing young guy who had been a end-of-the-room foreign policy advisor, was the real guy who got the investigation into the president's collusion with the Russians started as a result of a drunken blathering in a bar to the Australian ambassador, who then told MI6 in London. These narratives have developed because the facts are now so strong that there was a brazen plot to exonerate Hillary Clinton, and then if she lost, frame the President of the United States with a false crime, that this is what they have been forced to do. One of the heroes in this entire story is Admiral Mike Rogers, the head of the National Security Agency. He became the head of the National Security Agency in 2014. In 2015, one of the auditors at the National Security Agency, our electronic surveillance SIGINT masterpiece from World War II, came to him and said, There's some funny things going on at the FBI with regard to 702, which, of course, is that part of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, which allows the scooping up of huge amounts of phone call data and emails and electronic data about foreigners. And in the course of that, allows the incidental collection of information about Americans, which is supposed to be kept secret, but wasn't in this case because of the conduct of the FBI and the Obama administration Justice Department officials. Mike Rogers says, okay, let's do an audit. He does this in March of 2016. This is way in advance of the election. He then discovers, as a result of the audit, that the FBI has been sharing this secret data about Americans with not other government agencies, but private contractors. Some of those contractors apparently work for the Democratic National Committee. Some of them work for Fusion GPS. Mr. Rogers, Admiral Rogers, says, okay, the court, the FISC court, the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court, has been lied to. They have not been told about this. And things have been told to them which are not true. He said, I'm going to the court. I'm going to tell the court. Rogers goes to the court on his own and informs the court about these problems. Now, prior to him being able to do that, the Justice Department and the FBI learn about what he's done, about the audit and what he's discovered. And so they go to the court first to inform the court that they have discovered these problems with illegal activity. Doesn't make any difference. It's too late. The court now knows what has happened. So he goes to the court, they go to the court, and then in April of 2016, the FISA court issues this 99-page opinion, which I'll bet you didn't even know about until I talked about it this morning. This opinion describes illegal activity by the FBI, illegal activity by contractors, and it calls it the improper disclosure of raw intelligence about Americans to unauthorized individuals. All of those things that the Bureau did and the contractors were crimes. Now, you wouldn't think, this is a public document now. It's been declassified. You have not seen a single story about this in the Washington Post or the New York Times. So, with this in hand, and remember, Rogers knows all about this before the election. So as soon as the election is held, Rogers determines that since there is now a president-elect who has been spied upon, he knows that Trump was the subject of a plot. So Admiral Rogers goes to visit President Trump, President-elect Trump, in New York in November of 2016, on the 17th of November. He's the head of the NSA. He briefs the president. And it is after that briefing, the very next day, that President-elect Trump moves his entire staff out of Trump Tower to Bedminster, New Jersey, where his golf club is, and that's where the transition team stays until Trump Tower is debugged. What Admiral Rogers did was, and this is why the president said that President Obama had wiretapped him, Rogers, on that day, November 17th, briefed the president about the illegal activities which had been reported to the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court earlier in the year. And the president knew what had happened at that point. Now, interestingly enough, when the outgoing administration found that Admiral Rogers had gone to New York, the DNI, the Director of National Intelligence, John Clapper, and...
Let's take the break here. Are you finding this rather fascinating? I am, ladies and gentlemen. The criminality goes on. We'll be back in 3 minutes.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions, in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
Hello, my name is Don Wiskin from HeartDrop.com, the distributors of Extendivite, the number one heart drop that people have been raving about for years. Every February, for the last 16 years, HeartDrop.com has had a Heart Month sale to help you stay heart healthy. For only $115 plus shipping and handling, you can get a four-month supply of Extendivite in either liquid or capsule form to help you get started on your path to better health. Now is the time to stock up. Order what you need. Stay heart healthy all year with the number one heart drop, Extendivite. To order your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website, heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
This is so clear and plainly laid out, it's almost insane, isn't it? Let me see, we have an interviewer that's not interrupting the guest. The guest, without not shy at all about laying out the timeline and the criminality and who's involved and what they've done. This is journalism, folks. This is what people used to perceive as being journalism. After we listened to the rest of Joe DiGenova here, former federal prosecutor, I want to get into the FISA thing a little bit. Say it ain't so, Joe, but please, Joe, tell me more.
John Brennan, the director of the Central Intelligence Agency, asked President Obama to fire Admiral Rogers. Now, President Obama had many flaws, but he ain't no dummy. And he said, boys, it's too late. I'm not going to fire Admiral Rogers, because if I do, that'll be the only story about my last days in office, so you can forget it. And Rogers is there to this day. And when this story is written, when it's all over, the great hero will not be Robert Mueller, this crazy man that has been made the special counsel. It won't be the people on the Hill, except for Devin Nunes, who is a real hero, who has stood up under the most incredible personal attacks from real sleazeballs like Adam Schiff, this loony congressman from California. And it will be shown that Admiral Rogers saved the day by forcing the senior Justice Department officials to admit that they had done wrong things. Now, there's another fascinating part of this story. In October of 2016, when Admiral Rogers is going to the court and forcing the Justice Department to advise the court that they had submitted false documents, that they, the DOJ, had submitted unwittingly had submitted false documents, as they say, Admiral Rogers is plans are being made to fire him at that point, which of course never go forward because of what he does by going to New York. All of this has come to a head at that point, and the court is now learning for the first time about this unbelievable activity. For the first time in the history of the FISA court, it has been lied to, and according to the court, systematically and ongoing violations of the law. This is stunning stuff, and it's all because of Admiral Rogers. And that's where we are today. We are now at the point where Nunes has discovered this. He discovered it back in March when he went to the White House and all of these documents were turned over to him by the incoming National Security Council staff. And so now we'll watch it play out. By the way, in October of 2016, the Assistant Attorney General in charge of the National Security Division at Justice for the Obama administration and the person who was responsible for signing the pleadings that went to the court was a fellow named John Carlin. Once this material was submitted to the court in October of 2016, revealing the violations of the law, Carlin resigned and has not been heard from since. No one could figure out why Carlin resigned. And I don't know why he resigned. There was plenty of time left in the administration. He just left. Now, it may have been that you resigned because you don't want to be questioned by the Inspector General, who at that point had already begun an investigation of the FBI and the DOJ senior people based on Admiral Rogers' complaints. So that's another story that's going to play out. Where is John Carlin and what is he doing?
How do you explain to people, Joe, who think that even if you talk about these things, you're a conspiracy theorist, you're a wacko, you're a crazy, because everyone knows it's the Trump-Russia collusion that we should be talking about?
Well, this is the beauty of the false accusation. It goes around the world, and the truth takes a long time to catch up. The Russian collusion was a complete fabrication of the Democratic National Committee, the Clinton campaign, Fusion GPS, senior DOJ and FBI officials to create a way to dirty up Trump as a candidate and then destroy him as a president. There is literally no evidence whatsoever that has ever been produced of any conspiracy. And let me just say something that I find deeply offensive. The appointment of the special counsel was completely unnecessary. There was no need for a special counsel. I don't know why Rod Rosenstein did it, but he did it. But there was no justification for it. And in fact, in his appointment letter and memorandum about it, he admits there's no crime that's been discovered, but for political reasons, this needs to be investigated. Well, that's just utter nonsense. Look what he's done to an incoming president. Look at what he's done to the country by appointing a special counsel. That should have been handed off to a bunch of senior DOJ officials who are being monitored by a political appointee who would keep them within the legitimate bounds of an investigation. Mueller has not brought one charge involving collusion with Russians. He's never going to bring a charge involving collusion because there was none. The charges against Manafort predate his association with Donald Trump by many, many years. The lying to the FBI charge against Michael Flynn is a ludicrous charge. I know why he did it. He wanted to save his family and his son from everything. Flynn was indicted for lying to the FBI about conduct that is completely legal, talking to the Russian ambassador, talking to anybody overseas. He could do that when he was an employee of the campaign or when he was on the transition team. All of that is perfectly legal conduct. George Papadopoulos, who pleaded guilty to lying to the FBI, he lied to the FBI about perfectly legal conduct, about his contacts with people overseas. There's nothing illegal about that. Any American in the government or outside the government can communicate with any foreigner they want to. Now, if they take money and they're representing them, they have to report that. They have to, and that Manafort did not do, and so maybe there's a case there. I don't know. Who knows what the circumstances were. But the bottom line is this. Mueller and the way he has conducted his investigation is an embarrassment to anyone who's ever been a special counsel, which I was. I was an independent counsel. Hiring all of these partisan Democrats to conduct the investigation, he's not naive. But Bob Mueller's been around too long. You can't be that dumb to not realize how horrible it is to have these people. These people are not biased against the president. They have an animus toward the president. There is a distinct difference. I believe that his entire investigation, Mueller's entire investigation, has been tainted by this animus. There's no way you can have people who have donated to the Clintons, donated to Obama, represented the Clinton Foundation, represented Clinton individuals in criminal investigations, and then have those people who have given to President Trump's opponent investigate President Trump. I don't know what Mueller is thinking of.
Since you're bringing up the Mueller investigation mm-hmm. and the apparent focus on investigating Trump's Russian collusion, isn't it interesting that Mueller and Comey and Rosenstein and others were involved in a Russia collusion story for Obama Clinton?
Mueller, first of all, never should have been appointed because there was no need for a special counsel. That's number one. Number two, he never should have been appointed because he knows James Comey. They're personal and professional friends and have been so for many years. Comey is a target of this investigation. He's clearly been involved in activities which could be deemed illegal and criminal. There's no way Mueller can investigate him or anybody else at the senior people that he worked with. And yet, here he is investigating Russian collusion when he presided over, as FBI director, the investigation into Uranium One, which was a clear kickback bribery scheme by the Russians to bribe Bill Clinton as ex-president with speech money, to bribe Hillary Clinton with speech money for her husband and $145 million in contributions to the Clinton Foundation, and to get a result of selling 20% of the uranium supply of the United States to a Russian-controlled company. The notion that Mueller could investigate that, having been a party to the investigation, is ridiculous. But here's the other thing. Mueller, who was FBI at the director of time, knew about the Uranium One investigation of Russian corruption and bribery. Did he go to tell James Comey or anybody at the Justice Department that this case was under investigation and that they should warn CFIUS, the committee that approves foreign investment? Did he go? And if he went to see somebody in the Justice Department, like let's say he went to see Eric Holder, and Eric Holder, who sits on CFIUS, says, I don't think that's relevant to the sale of Uranium One. Or did Eric say, okay, fine, I'll let him know. We do not know what CFIUS was told about Uranium One. There have been published reports that they were told nothing about it. And here's the other part of this. If Mueller knew that this was there, why didn't he go to CFIUS on his own and say, I don't know what you're being told, but I'm going to report to you that this is pretty serious stuff and you need to know about it. He didn't do that. Why didn't Mueller do that? And so what we're left with is this nagging sensation that all of a sudden these really great investigators lose all of their skills and nobody talks to anybody about Uranium One. The other thing is this. Everybody always says in defense of Hillary, well, she was only one of nine. There were nine agencies. But they forget the one, the most important fact of all. It only takes one vote to stop a deal. Hers. And you know what? She was bought. She wasn't going to vote no. She knew about the bribery that was going on. Her husband was involved in it. She could have stopped the Uranium One sale with one vote. That's all it takes in CFIUS. If one member of CFIUS, one of nine, says no, it is done. She didn't vote no, and she could have. So the answer to this is, it's not that she was one of nine. It's that she was one of nine, and she didn't stop it.
So if the House were to turn over to the Democrats after the midterm elections, what are the stakes for the truth that we're trying to get told in these investigative matters?
Well, that's why it's important for the House to complete its work now and not wait any longer. I mean, it's clear that Adam Schiff and the Democrats are trying to delay so that they can prevent the publication of any information. That's, of course, not going to happen. The Republicans will publish all their information. They'll release all the information well in advance of November of 2018 and January of 2019. If the Democrats were to take over the House, that would be a disaster from a public policy standpoint, and certainly for the president. I have no doubt that there would be a number of Democrats that would want to try and impeach President Trump. I actually don't know if they could succeed, even in the House, if it were run by Democrats. But if they did, they'd never be able to do anything in the Senate. It just wouldn't work. You have to.
You can see why I chose to play that, because it clears a lot of ambiguity, a lot of confusion, a lot of this din, this absolute hailstorm of words that never quit, but no truth in any spoken words. Folks, I don't, you know, when you really have an opportunity to really sit back and understand what we're dealing with here, multifaceted, we have a government that's not for and by the people, it's for the corporation because it recognizes it's, well, it's one itself. And what better way to do business and make a deal? We have people that have gone astray from the Constitution so far that we might as well be living literally in a banana republic someplace. We have been raped and robbed by way of taxation, and the money and the interest is a taxation as well, to the point that we can't breathe anymore. We have 90 million people out of work in this country. There is not enough tax revenue from the working people to fix anything. So the government's going to have to go on another borrowing spree rather than doing what you and I have been taught. If you've got $5 in your checking account and you write a check for $5.01 and you know that you wrote a bad check, couldn't be cashed, guess what? You just floated some paper. That's a crime. You can be prosecuted for that. You go 5 miles over the speed limit in your car and your paperwork is not correct, you can literally be shackled and thrown into a tin box someplace. Why the high lords of our government walk around with immunity, committing crime and treason beyond anybody's belief. DeGenova finally got around to the end of that interview starting to talk about Hillary Clinton and Uranium One and the Clinton Foundation. What he had talked about before, that's the smoking gun. But the real fire and flame and bullets here is Hillary Clinton, the corruption, the people involved in the Clinton Foundation. And let's go before this. Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton going back to the governorship of Arkansas, the murders, the drug running. These are two of the most, and I'm not exonerating or excusing the rest, but if you've got a top 10 list, this is number one. This is number one on the list. That these two clowns have committed more crimes than you could ever imagine. And I don't think that a trial could be conducted that we would have enough time to prosecute the duo and all the criminality. And again, let me say this, this is not to excuse any other president before or since Bill Clinton, because there have been many. That we are in a position right now that none of this may matter, because if the globalist asshats, you know, the New World Order, the people have admitted the United States has got to go because it's a hindrance to our design of world government, or at least, you know, fat, sassy, transnational business that we can hide under the protection of the various governments, because they're going to be paid as well. There is no sense of right or wrong anymore, because right and wrong has been erased. we have large numbers of people, and no matter what letter follows their designation as, you know, this side of the aisle or that side of the aisle. Absolutely unbelievable that this kind of scenario could go on in a country that was supposedly there to protect the individual, the one, not the many, but the one. Because if you have no protection for the one, you multiply that out, and what protection do you have for the herd? You don't. And everybody is accountable. Everybody, the criminals are accountable for their sins and crimes and misdemeanors. Wow. Gotta take this break. We'll be back.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Do you or someone you know suffer from chest pain, blood pressure, cholesterol, or irregular heartbeat? Are you looking for a more natural solution to overcome these health challenges? You hear the ads all the time. If this stuff's so good, why doesn't my doctor prescribe it? That's easy. Doctors are not trained in natural medicine. Extendivite Heart Tonic does want you to be as healthy as you can be, and it really works. Take Extendivite for 6 months and your doctor will say, I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop. It's working for you. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite. Busted.
Kick down, break down, take down. Everybody wants into the crowded line. Break down, take down. You busted. Busted. Shake down, break down, take down. Just about the time you think it, it's all right.
I'm just sitting here, folks, and I don't know what to say next. I really don't. In lieu of what I've just heard, put out in a salient, logical, linear manner. And then we start to reflect on the crimes of the FBI against the citizenry. Oh, my God. And he suggested that, you know, this might be a shakeup from the top down. Let me try to explain something, if I can adequately do so. And I'll use the example of being run-of-the-mill police officer from any town, USA. If you know of criminality of your fellow officers and or your hierarchy, your administrators, and you don't report it, that's a crime. That is a crime. What they will do, they will close ranks to protect each other because the police department can't get a bad name and we can take care of this behind closed doors and after all we got internal affairs and really? No, they now have immunity against crimes against the American people. All the while wearing a badge and they're telling us that, you know, 5 miles over the speed limit, boy, your paperwork ain't right. I'm going to kidnap you. I'm sorry. You're going to be arrested, and you're going to be jailed, and you're going to be charged, and you get to post a bail, and on and on and on it goes. If you knowingly write a bad check, you're going to jail. What we're witnessing right now and what we're seeing, I thought I would never see in my lifetime. I knew things were bad. I didn't know they were this bad. And here's the point. We got, I can't even say the tip of the iceberg. We got the ice cube. That's what we've got. The corruption, the treason, the malfeasance, the, give it a name, give it a title. The crimes that have been committed by seated officials in these agencies and government employees and politicians alike is massive. All the while, this is the world that you and I are living in. We're devoid of hope. We were hoping things would change when Donald Trump got in there. Didn't we actually believe that he was going to get the presidency and he was going to do all the things that he said that he was going to do on that campaign trail? Some of which he's done, but the net effect of the action, reducing, say, corporate taxes from 35% to 21%, look what they've done with the money. They've bought up their own stocks. They've thrown out $1,000 to their employees and in many cases turned around in the next week or 2 weeks and laid them off or fired them. I am, ladies and gentlemen, wow. And all we got is the ice cube. We don't have the tip of the iceberg. And are you really going to be prepared for that when it finally gets drawn out and you get to see the entire picture and the length and the breadth and the depth of this? Are you going to be able to handle it? Top of the hour break. I'll take phone calls into the second hour. I'm your host, John Stapnow. This is the National Intel Report. We'll be back.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield Tactical Bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.